and we are talking about MSA, or multiple system atrophy. We're going to find some reasons to be positive here, Sarah Jarvis, aren't we, please?
Actually, there are lots of reasons to be positive. If you were diagnosed with MSA 50 years ago, then there basically would have been nothing that could be done. That's the first thing. Today, we may not be able to cure it, but there is so much that we can do to relieve the symptoms. We understand particularly about things like low blood pressure, which can be incredibly debilitating. Anyone who's ever felt as if they were going to faint, imagine feeling like that every time you stand up. It's how people with POTS feel, for instance, but it's also how people with MSA often feel. And there's so much that we can do. We can give these steroid drugs called fludrocortisone. We can help people with compression stockings. We understand much, much more about how to relieve this so-called postural hypotension. Contractures, shortening of the muscles, which I suspect Douglas was talking about when he was talking about pain, because they can be painful. Technically, pain isn't part of MSA, but it can cause a lot of pain because the muscles shorten up. We've got Botox now that we can inject, and that can often help with it. People who've got MSA can often have so-called PISA syndrome, where they literally look as if they're falling over to one side. Problems with sleep we can often do things about, and likewise bladder problems, which are very, very common. We've got these so-called anticholinergic drugs that we can use for people with overactive bladder, but we can use them for people with MSA as well. And then, of course, that's before we've even started on the extraordinary hospice movement in this country and the amazing work they do.
OK. Sheila Lusher in Woolmer, Kent, says, my sister has suffered with multiple system atrophy for 6 years. She rang me at work one day to tell me she could no longer write with her hand, and she'd had the most perfect handwriting. She lost her beautiful smile. Her face became completely blank. They sent her to a hospital in Wales, quite a distance, and the letter that came to her after her visit mentioned MSA. In the end, all she could move was her right forearm and move her head slightly from side to side. She couldn't speak. She became doubly incontinent, basically paralysed. We think her condition could be linked to an incident when a cloud of chemicals came over the hedge while she was sunbathing, which caused her to choke and cough. How strange that is. I don't know.
I suspect the problem we've got there is that everybody is always searching for an answer, and MSA is not a condition that runs in families. There are no obvious triggers for it. We don't even know whether it affects men more than women. Some studies say it affects men up to twice as often. Some studies say it don't. It doesn't. What we do know is that you get an accumulation of a protein inside your brain. And we do know that, for instance, we get tangles of protein in different forms of dementia accumulating and building up in the brain. What we don't know is why they happen.
OK. Nicola Duncan in Northampton, your father has this disease.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. What sort of stage is he in, Nicola?
So in 2011, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And then 2 years ago, that was changed to MSA.
Classic, it seems to be, from what we're hearing, classic error, but it's an understandable one because all the symptoms in the early stages look so similar. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. We as a family, we're learning all the time. My mum's become a bit of an expert because she's obviously his main carer. He basically can't, he's gone from a man who could turn his hand to anything. You know, if you wanted your heating fixing, your car fixing, help with your algebra homework, my dad was your man. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, he needs somebody to care for him. One of the main problems and the big concerns for us is that he chokes a lot. And there's kind of nothing anybody can really do for him when that happens. And it's really, really frightening and scary. And it's just about being there, making him know that, you know, trying to get him to relax, letting him know that everybody cares. My mum and dad are so positive, and I admire them so much because, you know, they've had this to deal with for a long time. But prior to that, my dad was ill with other conditions, so he's quite complex medically.
Nicola, it is worth pointing out that, especially with the so-called cerebellar type of MSA, swallowing problems are really common. But don't forget that, of course, again, these days, we have speech and language therapists who are very adept at dealing with swallowing problems, and they can offer things like thickened feeding and even tube feeding.
Yeah, so my dad does see a dysphagia nurse and speech and language therapist, and, you know, they've spoken to him about the fact that his speech is likely to go. and he has an app on his iPad so that he will be able to communicate with us still if that does happen. So, you know, we can't fault all of the help that we are given for my dad, but it doesn't make the horribleness of the situation and the condition go away. So currently my dad doesn't eat formed food, and they have discussed peg feeding, but because of all his other medical symptoms, they don't know that that's actually an option for him. So everything he eats is pureed. Obviously, my mum takes responsibility for all of that. You know, so it's quite a lot for her to do.
And you've got your, I mean, with in these situations, your mum becomes the carer, and she's probably got her own issues as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard.
But they just get on with it. They make the best of the situation. They've got four beautiful grandchildren, you know, who always manage to bring a smile to their faces. But it really, really is an awful condition to live with.
Oh, well, Nicola, I'm glad we're talking about it, because it just, you know, you're not alone. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
All the best to you over Christmas, Nicola, you and the family.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Colin Branch in St Albans says, my wife died of MSA 10 years ago. It was the worst thing to watch. She deteriorated over 8 years. All her joints went stiff, and towards the end she couldn't talk, eat or drink. She was in too much pain. The doctors couldn't do anything to help. It was horrific. So motor neurone disease seems to be, and we've talked about that, but that seems to be really rapid, like 2 years.
It is, whereas here we are talking about longer term, of course, really important to raise awareness, not just so that people can get the correct diagnosis. If they have been diagnosed with Parkinson's, they're not responding to treatment, for instance, that can be an indication that we should be looking elsewhere, but also because it's so important to raise money for research. We have made so much difference in recent years in terms of being able to relieve symptoms. We've got physiotherapists who can deal with this, occupational therapists, we've got much better devices. But the simple fact of the matter is, we do not yet have a cure.
John Yeoman in Sunderland says, my father has multiple system atrophy. 5 years ago, he was a sound gentleman with his own business. Then he lost his balance and he couldn't turn left on his bike. He's now very frail and he can't even get out of his chair. Every diagnosis is just probable because they say there is no exact test. That is frustrating, isn't it? And I wonder, just if there are people taking away from this item, Sarah, they're thinking they've got a relative who's been diagnosed as Parkinson's, but they're hearing stuff here that makes them worry. Is there any way of being sure?
Well, that's part of the problem. The answer is no. There are all these scans, and we think that we know everything about the human brain. It is still a huge mystery. You can do something called the DAT scan that looks at the dopamine transporters in the brain, which is a very specialised scan. But the problem is that that can be affected by Parkinson's as well. And PET scans likewise, that's the so-called positron emission tomography, can show so much, but it can only show us that much. It can show how different bits of the brain are functioning, but not what's actually going on inside them.
I suppose if we're going to clutch at straws here, we could say, well, at least with it's not sudden death and you get a chance to say how much you love your family member. Richard Davis in Forest Row, East Sussex, says, my mother has MSA. I've watched her deteriorate rapidly. It's heartbreaking. Her brain is still active, but she's unable to communicate anything properly. However, despite it being a horrendous terminal illness that will kill her, we've shared some of our happiest times together since her diagnosis. Thank you for your calls. I hope we've helped even a little. Sarah Jarvis, great to see you. Thank you again, Sarah Jarvis. And that was a very, very sobering subject we did there. And I hope that's been useful, whatever your situation. Even if you're unaffected, you can at least have a little bit more information, which is always good.